south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, I do get the occasional email from people up in the States that need some kind of living assistance because they're aged or in a wheelchair or disabled in some way. And it seems that lately there's a lot of buzz about coming down to Latin America because, like I've said so many times over the years, you could have yourself a live-in maid or live-in nurse for about $200 to $300 a month. And it seems, you know, that people don't believe this somehow. If I was up in the States right now, I wouldn't. You'd have to show me. So if you actually want to come down here and see for yourself that it's true, just sign up for one of my expat wisdom seminars and we'll take you around. Because, you know, we do go to first world style hospitals and clinics, and you could talk directly to the nurses and the nurses' aides, etc., and get it from the horse's mouth. And even if you don't speak Spanish, we have a number of great bilingual translators on our team. So anyway, if you're interested in my next seminar, which is in July, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and read all about it. So anyway, for non-believers who don't think you can get a live-in cleaning lady, maid, or even a nurse, LPN anyway, for $200 to $350 a month, if you think it's impossible or I'm just exaggerating, when you come down, I'll prove it to you. Oh, and by the way, you'll have to include room and board on that. They won't sleep in a cot out in the garage. It's good to treat them like part of the family, and you should. Anyway, practically any day of the week, I can show you ads in the big newspapers in Latin America, off the tourist trail, of course, where healthcare service companies and hospitals and clinics and doctors are offering the very same salary range. So that's what you should offer too if you're in the market for such a person. So whether you need a full-time live-in nurse or full-time live-in maid, it's totally reasonable to hire a person like that and still have enough left over to live like a first-world person on a Social Security check. But the question is, how do you find somebody that's qualified or pre-vetted? Especially if you don't speak Spanish. Because, let's face it, if you're handicapped and you come down here or you're in a wheelchair, where's a good place to start? Well, of course, you could start with the classified ads or the nursing schools and hospitals. But if you're totally new to the Latin American place or location you plan on settling in, it can be a pretty daunting experience. Especially when you're off the tourist trail and almost no one else speaks English. Now, on the same track, if you remember, in a couple of past shows, I mentioned that a great business for gringos and expats coming down would be to give short day-long or half-day-long seminars to cleaning ladies and maids down here, a seminar to specifically train them to be maids first-world style. In other words, bring them up to first-world specs, because I'm telling you right now, about 95% of them are just not. Oh, they're perfectly capable and able to do it, but remember, almost all of the maids down here live in tin shacks when some of them have dirt floors. And if you don't train them up right, they'll bring those bad habits that they use at home right into your household. And by the way, practically every single maid I've ever seen, or housekeeper, also will do some of your cooking. And believe me, all of them are very short in the hygiene department. Get the point? Now I tell you, if some gringo was to put an ad in the paper offering that kind of seminar, every middle, upper middle, and wealthy Latin American woman would sign her maid or cleaning lady up right away. Well, maybe not every boss lady would sign her maid up, but I bet you'd have standing room only. Remember, boss ladies like that are gringo wannabes, so as long as you market it as such, the gringo advantage will bring them in. Okay, that said, I just found out that in some of the bigger cities in Latin America, some young Latin entrepreneurs have actually started little businesses where they'll vet the maids out for you. In other words, maid referral services are now starting to pop up down here. It's about time, and it's a very good idea. And what's that all about? Well, you have to realize that most maids are either inherited, that is, you buy or rent a house and you keep the same maid on that the last occupant had, or it's word of mouth, or you too put an ad in the paper. Now, there are businesses in every medium to large Latin town, maid service businesses or cleaning businesses, Well, you pay them and they send the maid over, just like they do in the States. But doing it that way, you'll always pay double or triple over what you paid a maid or cleaning lady or even a nurse, an LPN, in the case of assisted care that you've contracted out yourself. Now, I know a lot of gringos that come down to Latin America come here specifically on contracts from first world businesses like, for example, Ace Hardware, Sears, Bayer Aspirin, Harley, or even Hooters. They're getting paid first world money, and sometimes they even get paid for housing and for a maid's allowance, so it's no skin off their backs to pay three times as much as they have to. Which, by the way, is also why many clueless gringos on contract come down and pay three times as much for housing than they really have to, too. And why is that? Well, it's because they usually find their housing via the internet up in the States, using Century 21, RE/MAX, and other gringo brokerage houses they're familiar with, and get directed to high-end, overpriced properties, because, well, they just don't know any better. That's why so many new expats get hit with gringo prices. But as for us regular gringos, the 99% of us who aren't down here on first-world contracts, or down here working for the U.S. Embassy, pushing paper and sucking from the government trough, you know, they get first-world salaries and a housing allowance, etc., too. Some say it's nice work if you can get it, but you should meet these embassy types down here. Actually, you don't want to. Most of them, pathetic losers. The overpaid, useless civil servant who lives for the weekend. The fact is, there's millions of these jokers, and it's all on your dime, too. Sickening, I know, but that's the way it is. Anyway, us normal people who aren't government parasites, we just hire our own maids and cleaning ladies. And by the way, almost always by referral. Usually, like I said, from the previous maid or the next-door neighbor's maid or whatever. But the problem is, still, you're taking a chance. Now, with my 20-plus years down here, at least three of my maids I've caught stealing from me. Nothing big, mind you. A scissors here, a screwdriver, towels, plates, even food like potatoes and tomatoes. And that's why I always recommend gringos have a lockup room. Something you might call a panic room, but that sounds kind of drastic. It's really not. I'm just talking about a small room or closet with a steel door on it. Then you can lock up the obvious stuff like wallets and jewelry and money when you're out of the house or when you go away for a while. Or if you just hired a new cleaning lady and you're still putting her to the test. Now, I understand that up in the States, when you hear the word steel door, you think overkill. Or you think about one of those metal-clad storm doors that you have up in places like Cleveland and Chicago. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, down here, any building or residence worth its salt is made out of concrete and steel. So there's a lot of metal and steel work in gates and doors. Not to mention, in the cities anyway, many residences and businesses have bars on the windows. So with all that metal work going on, seems like every neighborhood has one or two of these guys called herreros. That's H-E-R-R-E-R-O, herrero. In English, that means metal worker. And he's the guy who makes steel bars and gates and garage doors and those metal doors that I'm talking about that you'll be using if you want to save for so-called panic room. So note that metal doors, strong metal doors, are everywhere throughout Latin America. And 90% of them are pretty ugly. Basically, just used for utility. Then again, you can have beautiful, nicely detailed ones done too. But of course, you'll pay a little extra for that. Now, don't think that a metal door is solid steel. It's not. Normally, it's got a framework of medium-gauge tube steel with some steel support bars, etc. But the main body of the door is just a flat piece of steel welded to that tube frame and painted up nice. So, you can have ugly utility or beautiful. Just tell the guy what you want and ask to see some samples. And for about $100 to $150, he'll come on over, install a steel frame, hang it, paint it up nice, and install a Yale lock on it or any other kind of lock you want. And don't cheap out on the lock. I suggest a nice, expensive American Yale lock or equivalent. Then you're all set. Now, if the inside of your house or your bedroom is kind of a showplace and you don't want that steel door look because either you think it's ugly or it doesn't fit your decor, you could have that guy who made it, the herrero, install it in your closet about 6 inches behind your beautiful hardwood teak wooden door. So, in effect, you'll have two doors, a door for show and the steel door for protection. That way, no one but you will know it's there. In fact, I know a lot of picky gringos who do it that way. And that's where you put most of your valuables. And you should get in the habit of having that door closed and locked when there's someone else in the house. And naturally, only you have the key. Like I said in a show a long time ago, that's where you want to put your big valuables when you go on a long vacation. You know, your computer, your flat-screen TV, and ladies, your fake Gucci bags and guns, of course. But note, that's not the place you want to put your cash or your gold or your cool jewelry. Your real wealth should be stashed somewhere else. Because, you know, someday if your house gets broken into and the bad guys discovered that lockup, that's the door they're going to work on to try to get open, right? So instead, find another place for your real valuables, your gold, your cash, etc. Now, I'm not going to tell you what my favorite places are, but believe me, in any house, there's plenty of very cool places to hide stuff like that. Only don't hide it in a place where your cleaning lady or maid is likely to clean. In other words, use your imagination and put that stuff in a place that no one would think to look. And don't put it in your icebox in your freezer. Every crook knows about that place. They've seen all the Hollywood heist movies, too. Though I will give you a good hiding place hint to get you started. An expat friend of mine has a very big dog. And he's got one of those big doghouse slash crates that doubles as a doghouse and an airplane carrier. You've seen those. Anyway, one day he brought me into the laundry room where the dog sleeps in that cage. He shooed the dog out and lifted up that carrier, and underneath, he had a little box with about 10,000 bucks in cash and 20 or 30 ounces of gold. And of course, that took up some space. So in order to pull it off, he had the dog house resting slightly above the ground on a couple of 2x4s. Now I ask you, who would ever think in a million years to look under the crate where that big dog sleeps? In fact, who'd be nuts enough to try it? Meanwhile, that expat friend of mine has a nice steel door lockup too. A place for the big stuff, also a diversion for the real valuable stuff. So what he's got when he goes away on long trips is peace of mind, of course. And by the way, when his cleaning lady comes over, like 3 times a week, he puts his dog in the cage because she's deathly afraid of the thing. You think she's ever going to get near that cage to clean around it? Not in this lifetime. Oh, and by the way, I should mention here that almost all the gringos I know do have cleaning ladies, but almost none of them are live-ins. It's always those pretentious Latin folks that have live-in maids. For them, it's a badge of distinction, especially when they haul them to the Walmart, dressed in their little maids' outfits and all, and the boss lady orders them to pull things off the shelf. Really, you have to see it to believe it. Whereas what a cleaning lady or maid means to us is simply that we don't have to pick up the dog crap or do our own windows and toilets. But I'm getting off the track here, as usual. The point I was trying to make before about this cleaning lady and maid stuff is that just recently I've noticed some smart, internet-savvy young Latin guys have started to offer maid and cleaning lady referral services online. And in fact, one of my gringo buddies just picked up a maid that way. What's nice about using a referral service like this is that you're not paying more for your maid. The company does not have a contract to hire the maid out to you. You just pay a one-time service charge for them to find you one. Actually, what they do is they pre-qualify a lot of different maids, and you go through the portfolio and pick out the ones you'd like to interview yourself. Like Expat Eddie says, it's like a maid casting call. So anyway, this gringo buddy of mine, whose Spanish is about at a 4 or a 5, he hooked up with this maid referral service online, and after a one-time cost of about $75, he found a lady he figured was perfect for the job. So what's this maid referral service do that you can't do on your own? Well, for one thing, they interview the maids, get past references and check on them, check all their paperwork and ID documents, get copies of all that, get their home address for you or the prospective employer so you can have a drive-by and see what kind of neighborhood and conditions they're living in. They get a local police report on them to see if they've ever been in trouble before. And you get a list of the family members living at home with her too, along with a little paragraph of information about her own personal family life. And if you like, you can arrange to interview the candidates at the referral office by Skype. All that for $75. Now, I'm certain a service like that up in the States would cost you at least 5 times that. And even then, you probably couldn't get half that stuff because there would be privacy issues. Now, I can tell you this for sure. If you go out and find your own cleaning lady or maid, or LPN or home care nurse for that matter, it'll be very difficult for you to come up with all that information on a prospective candidate, that's for sure. And according to the young guy who runs the referral agency I checked with, he said he disqualifies at least 50% of the applicants, which is why you'd want to hire a service like that in the first place. So he can weed out the bad or the iffy ones. Now, one of the obvious problems with a service like that, especially when you're off the Gringo tourist trail, is that the owner of the referral service and, of course, the cleaning ladies do not speak English. Of course, if you're on the Gringo tourist trail in a place like Costa Rica, for example, sure, they'll speak English, but you'll also pay 3 to 4 times as much for the service. That's the very definition of Gringo prices, don't you know? Not to mention, on the tourist trail, you'll pay 3 to 4 times as much for a monthly salary, too. But you knew that already, right? So anyway, when I discovered these maid referral services, and like I said, you can find them in pretty much any medium to large size Latin city. Just try a web search, but there's a very high probability it'll be in Spanish. Anyway, I instantly thought it would be a great idea for a Gringo business opportunity. Now, I'm not suggesting you copy a maid referral service at all. What I'm thinking is that you contact one or more of these referral services, and you make a deal. You partner up with the guy, and here's what you bring to the party. You use the Gringo Advantage. You advertise it as a Gringo operation. You deal with Gringo clients in English, and you train those maids, give them lessons, on exactly how to be a first world maid. So what you'll be offering for Gringo clients anyway are screened and pre-qualified maids that have been taught specifically what gringos and gringas expect out of their help. And on top of that, you still offer day-long and half-day-long seminars to the maids and cleaning ladies that are already working for upscale Latin bosses. You know, appeal to that big gringo wannabe segment of society. And don't forget, if you do that, you'll have to hand out a very nice-looking diploma at the end of the course because, you know, Latins, they just love that kind of stuff because it's all about the show. And by the way, with an operation like this, you really would be providing a great service. For one, just think about the poor hygiene habits so many maids and cleaning ladies have. You get the picture. Now, I started out today's show talking about how I occasionally get emails from disabled people and older folks who need assisted care. Well, let me just state right now that if you're a disabled Latin American, it's a very difficult place to be in a very hard life, unless, of course, you or your parents have money. And I say that because every day I see disabled Latin folks down here. All you have to do is drive around any medium or large city and you'll see them on crutches and in wheelchairs, etc., begging for money on the streets. And for those poor folks, life is very tough because there are no safety nets down here. Though, naturally, a certain percentage of those guys and gals are scammers. In fact, I've seen for myself how a certain percentage of people with disabilities highly exaggerate their problem and milk it for all it's worth, especially when there's gringos around. Those are the kind of folks expat Eddie calls exhibit your symptom types. Because you see, in any large Latin city, there are certain choice street corners and traffic areas where there's enough of a bottleneck that these disabled folks can come up to your car and tap on your window and show you their defect. In other words, as Eddie said, exhibit their symptoms. Usually it's a malformed or missing arm or two, or a stunted or missing leg or two. And there's also that down-on-your-luck folks that don't seem to have any visible disability at all, yet they're out there begging. Now, I don't know what the street life or begging culture is like up in Cleveland or Boston, but I've estimated that down here, a good percentage of these folks are trying to pull one over on you. And fresh gringos fall for it all the time. But once we're down here long enough, we wise up a bit. Now, I'm not saying these people don't deserve your help. However, like I said, many of them are pulling one over on you. And how do you tell? Well, here's how I picked up on it. Most of these disabled folks get to the job, and I guess it is a job for them, like around 7 in the morning when the traffic really starts hitting. But if you get there, let's say 6 or 6:30, well, I've personally seen some of the very same guys who drag their sorry, twisted legs from car to car painfully during rush hour, while at 6:30 in the morning, a few blocks from their designated corner, you can see them walking briskly by, sometimes even kicking a football around in a street match. In fact, I've actually snapped a few pictures of that. So do go ahead and give money to anyone you feel like it. However, many a long-term gringo that I've spoken to have the right idea. They only give money to street people or disabled persons on street corners who are actually selling something. Even if it's something of absolutely no value, at least they're doing something. And they've got enough self-respect to actually want to make a fair trade with you. And it doesn't matter if they're selling pencils or pens, chewing gum, Tootsie Rolls, or matches. Nah, strike that. They don't have Tootsie Rolls here. And you know what? A few times I've actually said that to people who pester me. I say, look at all the other people around you selling little things. Candies, erasers, whatever. If you did that, I'd give you some money, but I'm not gonna until you do. Because you see, in these big cities, especially off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you see some of the same beggars over and over again. And, as you know, they come in all temperaments. Some are nice, calm, polite, and others can be pretty aggressive. Now, do note that it's much different off the Gringo Tourist Trail. I don't want to give you the impression that there are hordes of beggars jumping all over you every time you get to a street corner. It's pretty orderly, actually. And in fact, one thing you will notice, when you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, like in Costa Rica or Panama, in public areas like parks where gringos gather, there seems to be 10 times as many beggars as there are off the Gringo Tourist Trail. How'd that happen? Well, that's a no-brainer. It's because gringos on vacation are happy to give up their change to the less fortunate. And in those countries, it's pretty easy to make a living on the street when there are so many gringos floating through. So, let me pose this question to you. Why is it, for example, when you walk out of the Costa Rican airport, Juan Santa Maria, and you hit the closest park or common area, you run into 5 or 10 times as many beggars as you do when you fly into San Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, or Honduras? Now, what does that tell you? It means it's easier to get money from clueless, sympathetic gringos than it is to go out and get a job. Now, you might think I'm being heartless and cruel about this, but remember, I've lived down here for over 20 years and I've seen it all, both on and off the Gringo Tourist Trail. Oh, and another thing, with all these non-governmental organizations, you know, these do-gooder groups that come down to Latin America, in fact, I can tell you right now there's over 300 such agencies registered in Nicaragua alone. Well, if that's true, and it is, all you have to do is go down to any airport in Latin America, pick Central America, for example, and you'll see hordes of do-gooders coming in on planes from the States. Well, if that's been going on for decades, and it's on the increase too, how come there are more, not fewer, street people begging for money than there were 20-something years ago? Good question, huh? Say, next time you meet one of these kumbaya types, why don't you ask him that question? So anyway, when it comes to street beggars, I only give money to people selling something, no matter how insignificant or even useless. And I do give money to people who obviously are terribly impaired. However, there are three kinds of street beggars that nearly all of us long-term expats refuse to give money to. Can you guess? I bet you can't. Well, number one is the fit-looking adult beggar with only one bad arm or one bad leg. So why do those guys get a pass? Because all over Latin America, you see people with impaired arms and worse, working their butts off and making a living. In fact, as much as I hate first world franchises like McDonald's and Wendy's, etc., I have to compliment them. They do hire quite a few people with disabilities like that. I've seen it. My hat's off to them in that respect. In fact, just recently, I've seen a few young kids with Down syndromes working at a McDonald's. And they were working their asses off. Very nice to see that, you know? But unfortunately, it only seems that first world franchises will stick their necks out like that. There is going to be a long lag time with Latin employers. Remember, down here, there's no such thing as the Latin Americans with Disabilities Act. And by the way, you know it's cruel and in fact totally politically incorrect to call someone a mongoloid. Now, I know when I was a kid up in Chicago that was in common usage, but it's still used all the time down here to refer to people with trisomy or, you know, Down syndrome. In Spanish, it's mongolo. And again, because down here there's such lag time with things like that, to correct that term is simply not on the radar. The same thing goes for little people, the correct term for midgets and dwarfs, right? Down here, they still say enano or enana, which means midget. Now, I can't imagine anyone in mixed company up in Chicago or Cleveland getting away with that. Then again, up in the States, Disney still hasn't been forced to change the name of their movie to Snow White and the Seven Little People, have they? It'll come, I guess. So, like I said, in many ways, Latin America is stuck back in the 60s and 70s, which for us gringos and expats is a very good thing in almost all respects, but there are some exceptions. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Beggars, gringos should think twice before giving their money to. Number two, be very, very cautious when you give money to an adult that's pushing a kid in a wheelchair. Because if you study that adult or you see him on the sidelines when you're driving by, it's obvious he's living off the disabilities of that kid. The kid's his meal ticket and the kid's no better off at all for it. And finally, number three, and this one always gets me. When you see a teenage or barely teenage indigenous woman begging for money with a kid strapped to her back and maybe another kid or two in tow, and often as a triple whammy, she's pregnant to boot. Now, no matter how heartless this sounds, most long-term expats just have to turn away from something like that. And I'm sure you can figure out why. Because more often than not, next year, you'll see on that same street corner that same lady with yet another kid. And those street kids, by the way, never, ever go to school. What happens to them, I don't know, but their lives have to be terribly miserable. In fact, I talked to one gringa do-gooder down here from a Protestant charity, and she told me that about a quarter of those kids end up being abandoned, and the lucky ones end up in orphanages. Another half end up being street kids themselves, or shoeshine boys and such, and another quarter end up in the human trafficking business, or merely dead. And like she said, who knows which is worse? There you have it. When you're a fresh gringo and you first get down here, you feel sorry for everybody and you spread your dough around. But you can't keep doing that. Unless, of course, you're money bags. Then you can do anything you want. And if you are money bags, don't just spread money around on the street like that. It'll come to no good. Give a kid or two or ten of them on the street a real job working for you. That's the best way to get these kids out of the cycle of poverty. And while you're giving that 10 or 12-year-old kid a job, make going to school part of the deal. In fact, the worst thing I think you could do is give money to people on the street who are just sitting around begging and not selling something. That just encourages more of the same crap. But what do I know? Oops, getting to the end of the show now. Just like to remind you, if you're interested in my Expat Wisdom Seminar in July, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link at the top of the page for complete information.
South of the border, down Mexico way.